Praise the Lord. Today we are going to study a little bit more about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we're going to honor her. From his virgin birth, he increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God. So we should honor Mary as the mother of Jesus, who nurtured Jesus so he could fulfill his destiny as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, as our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our King, and our Emmanuel, which means God with us. The title of today's message is, Be It Unto Me According to Thy Word. I like the King James Version. It just seems so much more majestic. Our King Jesus, and we should address him also with such dignity. It's a privilege to serve him. And I just think it's really wonderful that we have a woman who was born on the earth, who God himself chose above all women in the history of mankind. Wow. I think we need to study a little bit more about how special she was and to imitate her, because that's why God chose her. And in 3 John 1:11 it says, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So, it's very interesting to me that she was a vessel who the Lord could trust and entrust his greatest treasure in the universe, his own son, his only begotten son. And he had to change his deity. He had to become a man. And it was a supernatural occurrence because she was a virgin. And that just can't be done, you know. Now medical science is trying to do some of these things, but back then there was no way, no way. And Jesus had to be born sin free. And that's the reason why she had to be pure. So I believe that she also not only was pure as a virgin, but she had a pure heart. And this is what the Lord revealed to me. And as he revealed that and downloaded into me, I went to the scriptures and researched that. Now, a lot of times I'll be preparing for weeks for a teaching and getting before the Lord and asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to teach and what scriptures do you want me to use? And as I'm meditating on the Word of God, he'll give me the revelation of the Word to a deeper degree. I love it. Pastor Joshua always says, if you really want to learn the Word more and grow in the Word, teach it. Mm-hmm. It's because we have to dig in. And it's so true. And then I get to the point where I get lost in the scriptures and my husband's like, are you coming to bed yet? Are you coming to bed yet? It's late. I'm like, oh, this is so good. Just one more, you know. And so I just get so excited about that. And the other night, I had gone to bed late, but I woke up at 3 o'clock. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just drink some water, make a trip to the bathroom. And then I was tossing and turning, and so I was just praying so I could get back to sleep. And all of a sudden, as my eyes were closed, and I'm trying to sleep, so I'm on my pillow and my eyes are closed, I get vision flashes from the Lord. And what that means to me is, I see a video scene in my thoughts, and sometimes it's a still picture, and then I could see all the details, and it's like a message to me, what's going to be happening or what is happening currently. And then he speaks to me what to do about it. But this was interesting. This was 2 hours of a video that he played, and he was showing me different events from the sermon that I was developing in my spirit. And sometimes I don't get it on paper until the end. I have to mull it over, mutter a thing over, chew on the word over and over, and just get it deep in my spirit. So I'm preaching out of my heart, not out of my head. And it's something that I'm passionate about. And so at the end of that 2 hour period, I saw myself teaching this sermon. Mm-hmm. And I heard myself say things I hadn't thought about in my preparation. And the same scriptures that I had already chosen, there was some more meaning, and he was explaining about it through me telling about it and me listening as an observer to myself as if I was watching it on TV. And I was like in my mind taking notes like, oh, that's a good point. Oh, yeah, right. Wow, that's great. I never thought about that one. And I was like, wow, can I live up to my own video? I mean, it was like, okay, now Lord, those are big shoes to fill, because it was the Holy Spirit speaking through me in this video in my mind, and the Lord was teaching me what he wanted me to minister by showing me a future event that I had done before it occurred. Wow. And I got up and I was so refreshed, and I said, well, I'm just going to praise the Lord. You know, I just started praising God and worshiping, and the anointing just came so strong. And then it was about time for James to wake up. He's like, what are you doing? I said, praising God. Oh, it was just glorious, you know. So I am just a vessel of honor, ready for my master to use. And, you know, go for it, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do today. Anyway, so here's where the Lord showed me that it was confirmed that Mary has a pure heart. Now let's read in Luke 1:26 to, it should be 27 there. But before we get to that, this was confirmed that the Savior was going to be born of a virgin through Isaiah 7:14. It's not on your outline, but you can write it down on your notes or look it up while I'm speaking. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. What sign? Isn't that the biggest sign in the world? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Hello? He told about that hundreds of years before. And shall call his name what? Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God dwells with us. It means God is with us. He was saying that God came to be Son of Man. And he had to have the legal right to this earth by being birthed through a woman so that he would be able to take back the keys from the devil and have that right to delegate to us and make a way back to the Father. That's a lot of love. He gave up everything. That must have been a big decision. But God so loved the world, loved you and me so much, that he gave of his greatest gift to mankind. And who did he choose to be the person who would raise this child? How do you raise God? How do you rear him up? I mean, new mothers are just having their handful with a new baby, you know. There's not a lot of classes in school in how to raise a kid. I don't know why. And that's the way the old country is. The women would teach their young women those essential things. They knew how. They were trained in how to be a good mother, a good wife, a good housekeeper. They were trained to be that blessing and that helpmate to their husband. And we need to get back to some of that, godly culture. But I really admire Mary because can you imagine how she felt as a young girl? This is her first child, thinking, okay, what's going to happen? Well, what are the people going to say when I'm not legally married to Joseph in a ceremony, but I'm betrothed, so I'm assigned to be his wife, which means that we're engaged, and then it basically means that you are already his wife in the spirit, but they take a year to prepare after they approve of the betrothal so that the Hebrew husband could build a home and buy all the furnishings and prepare, and then the bride, she would have to go make a wedding gown and prepare for the wedding ceremony and get everything in order. And so that betrothal was a very serious thing. It meant, yes, you are already your husband's bride. Okay, so can you imagine what Joseph was going through when all of a sudden his fiance ends up pregnant? And he knows it wasn't him, so who was it? And then she comes up with this big old story. Well, it was God. And he's like, what? You know, they didn't have psychiatrists back then, but I bet you he was thinking there was something challenging there. You know? Okay, so let's go to Luke 1, 26 to 27. Jesus Christ's birth was announced to Mary. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, verse 27, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now let's go to Matthew 5:8. This is very important. Matthew 5:8, circle this one. We should imitate Mary, especially in this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amplified Classic, blessed, happy, enviably fortunate, and spiritually prosperous, possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace, regardless of their outward conditions, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The minute Jesus was born, she saw God. There's your confirmation. And here's the confirmation through the story of when you see that the angel Gabriel appeared to her. And that's how we know she had a pure heart. Because definitely that's when he became with us, was at the moment of his birthing. Number two, Mary had God's favor. As this is saying, in it's confirming what Matthew 5:8 says in Luke 1:28. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Most places I read in the Old Testament, like the angel appeared to Zacharias, the first thing that they say is, fear not. To Gideon, fear not. Why? Because they were probably very ominous, wonderful, big creatures and illuminating the light of God, and you know they're not Hebrew. And so they have to say, fear not, because they were scared. Basically, they're telling them not to fear, meaning, I come in peace, you know. I'm not your enemy. And so, number three, Mary knew the Lord was with her, because that was a promise he gave her. And having come in, the angel said to her, another promise God told him to tell her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, not gonna be, not will be, with you now. So he couldn't be with Mary if she didn't draw near to him previously. I bet you she was alone there praying. I bet you she was found with such passion of love of God in her heart that God was already with her when he arrived. And now he's going to always be with her. And he was confirming that so she wouldn't fear whatever she was going to go through. The ridicule of being embarrassed, of being pregnant before she had a wedding ceremony. The disdain, because that sin, the penalty of having sex before marriage was stoned, that the ladies, girls were stoned to death. So he had to calm her fears, number one, before he gave her the big drop of the bigger message. Okay, so he was calming her so she could be in faith, because fear and faith cannot be together. So he was getting rid of her fear so faith could be dropped in her heart, because he needed to plant a seed by which it would be conceived and grow. A godly seed. So he was setting everything in motion so that everything would be exactly the way God planned it. So whenever you try to do something and you do it in fear, God cannot move. The Word of God cannot move. You need to get rid of the fear and get back into faith. And then the Word of God, which is the seed planted in our heart, can then grow and produce the results that God wants. So we're learning from Mary. She was blessed by God. Number four, let's start with Luke 1:26. So now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And Luke 1:28, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women," meaning all women. The blessing upon her was so great, that means that she would never lack or want any good thing. Blessing means multiply unto her an abundance of everything she needed, which is even the knowledge or foreknowledge of how to raise the Son of God as Son of Man. Now, Luke 1:45, Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So Elizabeth was prophesying that whatever the angel said would come to pass, and she believed it. She didn't think that Mary was nuts. She believed Mary. Why? Because if you read in that scripture, it says Elizabeth was full of the Spirit of God, and Mary had the Spirit of God come upon her. Now, number five, Mary learned to be in faith and not be afraid, like we just talked about. And the angel finally said, because Mary, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. You know, someone comes in and appears and says the first thing is, rejoice, instead of be afraid. Rejoice, highly favored one. Favored one. She was just a humble girl who was poor. And she's thinking, favored of God? How could I be favored? I'm not rich. I'm not famous. I'm not educated in the things of scriptures. And the Lord is with you. And she's probably like, well, yeah, I love God. And then he says, and then you're also blessed among women. And she's like, wow, he just elevated me. How can I live up to those shoes? I mean, she's thinking all these things, right? Because women were not allowed to even be in the temple. They weren't educated in the scriptures like the men were. They knew what the men had told them or what smatterings, and they couldn't read or write, most of them. They were supposed to do the women's work. And so she's thinking in her head, what I'm thinking, how is this going to all come about, right? And so he's trying to get her to be in faith and not be afraid. And then in Luke 1:31 to 34, I think that Mary had courageous faith, finally was able to move in that courageous faith because she was willing and obedient to not be afraid and believe this angel and believe that he was of God. Because I believe when a messenger from God comes, she felt the peace of God. She felt the anointing of God. She felt the power of God. She felt the love of God. And that anointing broke every yoke of bondage of fear in order for her to get into faith. And so verse 31 says, "And behold, you'll receive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "Hello, how can this be, since I do not know a man," meaning I'm still a virgin, hello. And so in her mind, you know, she had to think in the natural, right? And so it was a good question, right? She got an A plus on the question. So in Luke 1:35-36, the angel said and answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And now he tells her a message. And he tells her a fact. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age." So she was really, really old, and you're not supposed to really get pregnant. They just thought she was going to be barren forever. But now she's pregnant, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Mary obviously didn't know it, so, you know, instead of a telegram, the angel told her, message from God, okay? And so then number seven, Mary learned that with God, nothing will be impossible. Verse 37 of Luke 1, as we're studying Luke 1, that's what he said. "For with God, nothing will be impossible," meaning you can get pregnant without a man. So she had to believe that. And she had to believe that Elizabeth was pregnant, even though she didn't know and she hadn't seen it. She had no clue. So here's Mary's answer. Most people would say, "Are you nuts? I don't think that's happening." And they would have canceled the whole thing. Later, he would have chosen another woman. She didn't do that. God knew she wouldn't do that because he knew that Mary was such a willing and obedient servant of God that she would do anything God asked her to do. And what did she say in Luke 1:38? Circle that. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That seed of the word of God was planted into her heart as heart faith. And that's what germinated. And that's how she conceived of the Spirit of God so that she could have the Son of Man be gestating in her womb and be the pure host by which that he could grow and nurture and be birthed and be our Redeemer. Well, you know, when people are challenged to be careful when they're pregnant, can you imagine everywhere she went, she was probably like, "Oh, I'm not going to go eat that, you know, street, you know, cart food anymore. You know, I'm just going to make sure I have, you know, pure food." And, you know, I mean, what was she thinking? I mean, this was a guarded treasure inside of her, right? I mean, just thinking as a woman, you know, what would I be thinking? So here Romans 4:17 says, "As it is written in the King James, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not, which be not as though they were." And the Amplified Classic clarifies that, saying, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations," God talking to Abraham. "He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and speaks of the non-existent things, a virgin being pregnant, that he has foretold through Isaiah and promised as if they already existed." You got to say things as if they already existed, so they will be. And that's why people aren't receiving what they pray, because they're praying the problem instead of speaking the solution that God already told you have. And then you speak the word of God, which is a seed, and you gestate it in those affirmations, and it grows and it grows and grows till it's birthed out into the spirit realm, and you receive the manifestation of what's already yours from heaven. And that was already done before God spoke it, and she believed it, and it happened. In Jesus' name, we should imitate that in our life. God said it, so be it, as a done deal. In other words, God speaks the end result. He doesn't speak the problem because it'll stay a problem. So start to use God's word to call those things that do not exist as they already did more often as your normal lifestyle, as Mary did. And as you study the Bible, you notice God never does anything until he says it first, because the word is the seed. That's the way he works. God has done nothing in the earth without first speaking it. And even now it seems that God will do nothing in the earth unless it is spoken, prophesied, or called for by the prayer of faith. And if you don't know what that is, go to healing school. Pastor Joshua taught us that we can get any challenge resolved by using the prayer of faith. and get everything done to a greater degree. You better learn that well, because it is who we are. It is our lifestyle. In order to live and remain, you've got to get down the foundation and the basics like Mary did to perform miracles in your life and see those things that are impossible become possible. Because you speak it into being. Because you believed it before you saw it. Let's look at the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Mary said, again, I love it. This is one of my favorite things in the Bible. I love this. This helped me through so many things in my life. When I didn't think I was going to make it through, I remembered what Mary said, and I repeated it, and I imitated her, and it became life in me, and God changed things and moved mountains. Be it unto me according to thy word. Say that with me. Be it unto me according to thy word. Let's say it two more times. Be it unto me according to thy word. One more time. Be it unto me according to thy word. Whew. Your level of faith just already rose. She became the most blessed of all women in the history of the world. And at the same time, it was like an oxymoron. Why? Mary was to be the mother of a resident alien. How can an alien be resident? He came from heaven and was born as a man to have legal right on this earth. What's another oxymoron? Being alone together. She was alone by herself, but together when God said he'd always be with her. So she really wasn't alone, but she felt alone. Who would she tell all this? It's difficult. Hey, Mom, guess what happened to me today? I became pregnant. What? Okay. And here's another oxymoron. A pregnant virgin. How does that happen? That's not normal. So those words shouldn't be paired together. Nevertheless, they described a true concept. And Mary was chosen by God to make the impossible possible. Again, I say that again. And could only do so when the Holy Spirit came upon her. Everything that we are striving to do without him, not going to happen. It must be led by him and anointed with the Holy Spirit to break every yoke of bondage and speak forth the word, be a doer and a hearer. Very important. So we need to back up. How many times are you consulting with the Holy Spirit? You get advice from everybody else. You Google on the internet your answers and you're this or the that or whatever. Hey, you know what? My opinion doesn't count anymore. Your opinion, the advice of other people. You know, if they're godly people filled with the Spirit of God and especially cleansed, yes, I want to listen to that kind of counsel. But you know what? In my life, I have found the best opinion that I regard the highest is God's opinion, what his word says, and I want to hear his voice more clearly every day so I hear him and I'm accurate. And if we don't have an accuracy rate of what we think that we've heard from God, then you start over and you keep practicing until you get there. But don't think that every thought that you have is from God just because you think it's good. Okay? And I encourage you to confirm that with your pastors that do hear God's voice clearly if you're still growing in that area. And even when Pastor James and I, we really feel like we hear the voice of God well, but there's a lot of times we consult with Pastor Joshua and Pastora Sarah to make sure that we're on target, because we, especially with very big, huge decisions in our lives, and then it gives us that assurance that yes, we're still on target, and then we see whether or not those things actually pan out or come to pass, and then we judge whether or not we had heard correctly. Okay, so now we're going to go to John 11. And John 11:11, he said to them, Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Did Jesus say, oh, the guy is dead, just leave him there, dead as a doornail? No, he didn't say that. He wanted to teach them right there. He taught them a concept of calling those things that are not as though they were, because his mother did that in order for him to be birthed. And so he himself is teaching them. And so he said, your brother will rise again in verse 23. Verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Mary said to him, Lazarus' sister, not his mother, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, because Mary, his mother, already knew that, right? And so in verse 40, he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So he had already spoken with his father about it, and his father gave him permission to raise Lazarus. He didn't do anything without his father's permission. How many times do we things without asking the Heavenly Father? And verse 42, I know that you always hear me, he's speaking to his father, Jesus is, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried in a loud voice so everybody could hear. He wasn't afraid, and he wanted them to know what he was doing, and he spoke out this, the word of God, so that it would happen. Lazarus, come forth! And he who died had come out bound hand and foot. How does a person who's bound up come out? That's another miracle. I guess he was hopping around, okay? And with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. See, now, his face cloth wasn't folded up in a nice, neat pile away from his grave clothes. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. See, the devil has a lot of stuff that he's trying to kill in your life. Your dreams, your hopes, your desires, your encouragement, your joy. And don't let the devil do it. So you have to speak the word. Come forth, the word of God in your life, so that you could be loosed from those things, and the devil will let you go. As you submit to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you and be free in Jesus' name. Number 9, Mary praised and worshiped God, as you'll see in Luke 1, 46 to 55 and Matthew 2 to 11. And she sang a song of praise to the Lord. So you should imitate Mary by praising and worshiping God. And no matter if you understand something or not, always praise him. She was probably challenged to be still confused how that was going to happen. She still praised him. And she was saying in her song that she was humble. Luke 1:48 in the Amplified Version. And B, Mary was a hearer and doer of God's word. And you'll find that in James 1:22 and 25 and Luke 1:39 through 35. So I always wonder, why did she go visit Elizabeth? Well, the angel told her something. So guess what? She probably went to say, let me go see if Elizabeth is really pregnant. So she went to see Elizabeth. She was pregnant. And Elizabeth's, the baby leaped in her womb. And she knew that Mary, by the Spirit of God, was carrying the Savior, the Redeemer, in her womb too. And they both rejoiced together. But when Mary saw the confirmation that what the angel said was true with Elizabeth, don't you think all the more her faith got deeper and stronger? Wow. That's awesome. Okay? And James 1:25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer and a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So Mary was blessed because she heard and she acted on that word as a doer. And Elizabeth said in verse 45 of Luke 1, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Wow, great prophecy. And number 1, Mary the Virgin did give birth to our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you could study that in Luke 1:26 to chapter 2, verse 20, and Matthew 1:16 to 15. And Isaiah again had a prophecy that was fulfilled. And so that was a confirmation. And Jesus Christ is our only mediator. And the reason why I want to read this is because we don't pray to anybody else but the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is the one that mediates for us as our intercessor. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. But I'm just going to read what the definition is of a mediator. One who intervenes between two persons who are at a variance or in a disagreement to reconcile them. and we had to be reconciled back to the Heavenly Father. And in the Old Testament, in Job 9:33, the word daysman means mediator or umpire, but in the New Testament, it means an ambassador, one who acts as a medium of communication between two contracting parties, like in a covenant. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And so, and he made the reconciliation through his perfect atoning sacrifice. And he is divine and he is human. And he also meets the three functions of the prophet, priest, and king as our mediator. So Jesus taught us how to pray effectively in Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. And he said, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. That's how we should say our prayers to be effective. And if you don't understand how to do that, again, I encourage you to go back to healing school. Luke 11, 1 through 4. That's where you'll see that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And C, like Mary, be an example for others to follow in 2 Thessalonians 3, 9. And imitate those through faith and patience, inherit the promises, Hebrews 6:12. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those through faith by their leaning on the entire personality of God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in His power, the dunamis miraculous resurrection power, wisdom and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promise. So pray this prayer with me if you really want to be more of an imitator and of these things that Mary did too. So repeat with me. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Be it unto me. According to thy word. So I am an example for others. To follow my walk. With God. Just like Mary did. And through faith and patience, I will inherit the promise of God, and so will those who follow me. Amen. Okay, now, before we go any further, Pastor James wants to come up, and he wants to do a special Mother's Day tribute. So, we'll give him a minute to come forward. Now, the senior pastor is usually looked up to as a spiritual father of the church, and his wife is usually looked up to as a spiritual mother and first lady of the church. Therefore, today, just as we have honored Mary, the mother of Jesus, Pastora Sarah, we want to honor you as a spiritual mother of our ABC church because you imitate Mary's example to nurture us to fulfill our destiny for the kingdom of God. Many of you have no idea how much Pastora Sarah does for our church, how many sleepless nights and countless hours of prayer, ministry, and work she has done just to be a blessing to all of us. Pastora Sarah, we invite you to come up to the podium so we can give you a well-deserved, godly, heartfelt tribute to show you just how much we and all our church love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
So we present you with these flowers.
I've got it. Ooh, it's heavy.
I'll help you with that.
Hello, everybody.
And I'll take this. And then this card, if you can read that. You have the microphone?
Right behind you.
And I'll put these down here.
We love you, Pastora Sarah, our ABC spiritual mother. Happy Mother's Day.
I can't see you.
There you go. Now we could see you, your lovely face better.
Pastora Sarah, thank you for being a gift of love sent to us from heaven above. Your ministry and joy are more precious than God's.
Than gold.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that makes more sense. More precious than gold. May God bless you back a hundredfold. We love you dearly, ABC staff and ABCers.
Right. Okay, so we could put that down here. And here's this. Okay.
Well, thank you, Pastor Sarah, for being such a godly example to us. To the best of your ability, we appreciate you and all of you to help us stay on course and not become spiritual sluggards. But imitators behaving as though faith, by learning our entire personality, leading our entire personality in God, in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and expecting to inherit the promise of God to us because of your godly example as an amazing woman of God and spiritual mother to many of us. We present this bouquet of flowers to you because you have caused us to blossom from the seed of faith sown in our lives, and the gift because you are such a gift of God to us. In addition, we ask the ladies of the church who would like to share a Mother's Day blessing or sentiment from their heart to you to do so and compile them as a personalized card for you. We recently sent them, easily was asked to share how ABC has been a blessing to them, especially you, Pastor Sarah, and here are some of their replies.
Yeah, and some people may not have had time to get their sentiments in because it was short notice, so please, this week, we had encouraged you to keep sending your sentiments in for her, so she will definitely be getting them still, okay? So don't worry about that. So
yeah, the Holy Spirit just asked Karen to do this a couple days ago, but this response is quite amazing for the limited now.
Oh, yeah.
So, in fact, one came in last night we haven't done first was from Sharon Seymour.
This morning.
Yeah, this morning. Mm-hmm. The Psalms 31 woman is not concerned.
Proverbs 31.
Sorry, thank you. Proverbs 31 woman is not concerned with what seems to be, right according to the world. Instead, she focuses on God's truth. Her biggest desire is to honor God. She works for God and not for man because she knows that her reward comes from God and Him alone.
Amen.
Okay. This is from Karen. Hi, Pastor Auntie Sarah. You've been such an inspiration to me of how a Proverbs 31 woman of God should be and how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, especially in God's love, joy, peace, and patience. I'm truly grateful to call you my spiritual mother and pastor too. Your teaching and life lessons have meant more to me than mere words can express. Thank you for speaking into my life personally, for all you have done to bless me, and all you do for all of us here at ABC. This one's from Deborah. When I first came to ABC, I had no idea how to make friends with other women.
Can you put that up more like this?
My friends, who had come with me for a few services at the beginning, remarked how much Sarah loved me. I was surprised and bewildered since women in particular didn't like me much. I decided to pay more attention after that, and sure enough, I saw that it was true. I had known from the beginning that ABC was my church, and because I became more optimistic that perhaps I should make friends. I went to healing school, which meant I had to break curses with someone, and that was with Pastors Joshua and Sarah. They spent hours listening to me and agreeing with me in the name of Jesus. It wasn't until I went to Israel 2 years later I was able to return the friendship. By that time, I had gone through healing school and had gotten rid of a host of demons and their influences. Thank you, Pastor Sarah, for being my first friend at ABC. Since then, we've become much better friends, and we know we can count on each other. You become like a second mother, and that I can ask you anything, and you mentor me as I navigate through life's challenges. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Deborah.
This is from Gwen. Happy Mother's Day to our blessed and beloved ABC Spiritual Mother. Thank you for being you. Thank you for caring, giving, loving our ABC family. Thank you for the wonderful example of love and devotion that you give to our beloved apostles, pastor. Dear Sarah, know that you are loved and appreciated very, very much. And may Ephesians 3:20 blessings continue to fill your life always.
Thank you, Gwen.
From Penny. ABC is blessed to have someone so dedicated and so committed to the success of all the church. She seems to put very long hours and does her best to cover all details. What reminded me that someone had given her a wedding dress and she offered me for my wedding along with a couple of decorations. Unfortunately, neither worked out, but the thought was very nice.
Thank you, Becky.
This is from Annie. How ABC blessed me, especially Pastora Sarah. ABC has been a positive influence in my life in the following ways through all the schools and ministries. A is for atone. ABC taught me how to atone for my sins so I can walk in forgiveness. B is for blessed. God has blessed me with the wonderful pastors of ABC, pastors Joshua, Sarah, James, Karen, Matthew, and Penny, and Pastor Michael, and Gwen, and Evangelist Deborah. God has used Pastor Karen to be a wonderful mentor in my life, but most importantly, he has blessed me with a wonderful spiritual mother of the church, Pastor Sarah. When I see her, I see joy, an example of the love of God. C is for changed. God has used ABC to change me for better. That's the ABC of how God has blessed me.
Thank you, Annie.
Now, Hong had Troy help her with this. So, Pastora Sarah with ABC brings life and joy. She always has a smile and a big greeting. You also never know what kind of colorful dress or where it came from any particular day. We're blessed by the season she brings to the service, the Florida Majuscas.
That was great, Hong. Wonderful sentiments from each person already.
From Faith. Happy Mother's Day, Pastora Sarah. Thank you for being the warm and selfless spiritual mother you are. You've been an undimmable light in my life and all ABC. I hope you have the most wonderful and joyful day.
Wow, thank you, Faith.
Shannon Hamilton. I don't know if words can capture the blessings that I feel for now being part of ABC Church. Pastor Karen has guided me and helped me navigate through this journey closer to God. I did not know it was even possible. I feel my life has changed forever being a part of the church and all the amazing people. I hope to make a difference one day like all of you have done for me. There's one particular person on this special day I want to address, Pastora Sarah. I feel the incredible close bond like a mother. She is so nurturing in so many ways. She has shown me the love and goodness in my heart. It helps me see God's love more clearly than I have before. She's so thoughtful and caring, and I believe has helped me be a better person. God commands us to be there for one another. I'm truly grateful to be part of ABC.
Thank you, Shannon.
Sharon Majeska. Sarah is a wonderful Christian lady. She's very kind, considerate of others, has great attention to detail. She has a beautiful spirit and very inspiring to all of us. We love her very much.
Thank you, Sharon.
This is from Catherine Magnano. Pastor Sarah is a gift from God. She always has a comforting tone of voice when she speaks. Solutions of the Word of God. She reminds me to be patient as I would work through a situation. She reminded me to pray for the person or persons. I began to realize that everyone should walk through life loving each other. And other people's attitudes and words are just a reminder that we are to love each other through trying circumstances. In doing so, we grow in patience and God's love.
Thank you, Kevin.
From Sharon Crane. Thank you for letting me express my love and admiration for our ABC family and to our amazing Pastor Sarah. Oh, gracious, magnificent, loving God, to you is all honor, praise, and glory. We come to you with humble thanksgiving for the gift of life through the body and blood of Jesus. As we raise our hands and praise before you, thanking you for our ABC family's ark of anointing, protection, and covenant filled with treasures from heaven and throughout all nations. We thank you, Abba, on this Mother's Day for all mothers at ABC, lifted by our beautiful First Lady of our church and spiritual mother, Pastora Sarah. To know her is to know the love of God. She has so many wonderful things to us through Christ, whom she treasures above all others. God bless you, Pastor Sarah, for your beautiful heart and being such a comfort and reflection in the life of Christ. That's from Sharon Crane.
Thank you, Sharon.
This is from Susan. Pastor Sarah's love and joy, patience and kindness, full of wisdom and understanding. I'm so grateful to the Lord for putting her in my life. Best mom ever.
Thank you, Susan.
Maria Lopez. First time I came to ABC, I was totally lost. Pastor Sarah was so sweet and kind to me, I wanted to come back and experience that sweet love of Jesus I saw in her. I remember the beginning. One time I was in tears and confided her about the problem I was going through. She hugged me while praying over me, and afterwards I felt total peace over me and thought, wow, I want what she has. I'm truly grateful to God for giving me such a sweet, loving, joyful, spiritual mother. Happy Mother's Day. Love you more than you'll ever know. Many hugs and kisses in the spirit.
Thank you, Maria.
Okay, from Frida. Our spiritual mom, how you blessed and encouraged us. Your devotion to ABCers is so evident in all you do. We honor you and claim love and blessings overflowing on this special day.
Thank you, Frida.
This is from Lorraine. Sarah always greets us joyfully with a flower in her hair. We in ministry, she's always there. I love her teaching. She's a wonderful wife and always giggle when Pastor Joshua says something she likes.
That was Pastor Joshua clapping, by the way.
Right.
Mary Helen.
Thank you, Lorraine.
I would like some of one word, my experience with Pastor Sarah. Encourager.
Aw, thank you, Mary Helen.
Now, with all due respect to Joretta, she wrote a book.
Well, we've known each other a long time,
I've consolidated this for today. You can read the rest of it your own time.
Joretta gave us permission to edit because we did say brief, but, you know, I wanted to put the whole thing because that was her heartfelt sentiments, and so it's important for you to read what she wants, but for the sake of time, we're going to highlight. Okay, Joretta?
Pastora Sarah, a friendship of support, encouragement, and prayer support, we grew and matured and learned where our gifting and callings are strongest. Sarah's grown into my spiritual mother, loving, correcting, advising, supporting, and encouraging as I grow in the knowledge and application of the Word in my life. Thank you, Sarah, for your patience, love, and support. I'm so grateful to have you as my spiritual mom, as well as my spiritual friend and support. It has been an exciting, powerful journey, and I'm glad I took with you during your spiritual metamorphosis.
Amen, Joretta.
And from Beth. From the very first meeting, I knew she was special. I kept wanting to touch her every time I met her. I could feel the warm feeling radiating from her body as I thought to have. I thought I have to keep close to ABC so I can have more of what Pastor Sarah has. She's warm, welcoming, filled with the Holy Spirit. She does not have to say much to you. Just embraces you and can feel the Holy Spirit passing from her to you. And you have that blessing and happiness for days. You just want to keep listening to her forever in the Word. Pastor Sarah is a beautiful soul inside and out. And after a few minutes with her, you learn to leave her presence happy and filled with the Holy Spirit. When she preaches, you know she is in the presence of Jesus. You just want to keep going as she and Jesus are having a great time. I'm so happy and blessed to have met her and to be a part of ABC. I love her to the moon and back.
Anyway, so we wanted to show you how much we all love you. And sometimes you do a lot of things that go unnoticed, but God has noticed that you are like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and you have followed her example, and we're happy that we could learn that example from you, too. Love you. Okay.
You know, the statement behind every great man is a great woman. That's very, very true. And as you people out there know, most mothers don't get the recognition they deserve. It's a wonderful, fantastic job they do, and tireless and giving and loving. It's fantastic. And as you know, we've had a challenge here called a pandemic. And for over 2 years now, we've had more than any of us even imagined we've had to go through. And Pastor Josh and Pastor Sarah stepped up to the plate. They did every service for almost 2 years, or at least 2 years for extended time. It's been unbelievable, which is a lot of work. And she's been behind the scenes doing so much to help support her husband. So we're going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit something. It's time for these two to get some time off. We're going to ask for you to ask the Holy Spirit if you can give an offering donation for them to take a vacation and to get some rest that they desperately need, and to honor the Word of God to take a Sabbath, as we've talked about. Now, they've sacrificed for us. So, as Holy Spirit, please send in a special offering, mark on the envelope vacation, so they can get some time off, in Jesus' name.
And they don't need vacation money, but just like when we go to a wonderful restaurant and we have the best waiter serving us.
Is your microphone on?
Yeah, my mic is on. Okay. That's why I stood beside you so people could hear you too. We give a great tip, right? So they don't need your money. They're blessed to receive your money because God provides everything that ABC has. So we're asking for you to give a love offering to show how much you love them for a very special gift for Mother's Day so they could have some time off. I think they've got less sleep in the pandemic than before when they hardly got any sleep before that. And as you know, the nurses and the doctors in the beginning of the pandemic, when they were working so many hours, getting 2-3 hours a night, well, you know what? A lot of those doctors couldn't save a lot of people. But a lot of people called ABC and are now still alive. And it is not easy to minister when people are in challenge of crisis in the ICU or whatever. And so many people have been blessed by this ministry, by this woman of God, by Pastor Joshua as a spiritual father of this church, and Pastor Sarah as a spiritual mother. Even though she may not be as close to everyone as she would like to be yet, because she does want that with you, but we still honor her for everything that she does for us in this church in order for us to be blessed and have a service every single time we're supposed to have a service or Bible study or a Zoom meeting. They do double work now because they're doing the work of 9 people because in the lockdown we couldn't be here to help them. And so they really deserve this rest. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit is speaking to a lot of people to pour out of your heart a Thanksgiving offering to show them how much you love them, to bless them with a very, very special, great gift. Since they have given us a gift every single week of every service to be able to come and receive the wondrous teachings and anointings and ministry that's life-changing for us. That's what they've given to us, and we just want to give back. Okay? Love you. Okay, thank you.
Wow. I recently heard a woman say, in answer to a question she was given, was she was speechless. She says, and that's not normally true of me. So I think I feel a little bit that way too, that I'm just very grateful and very humbled. And thank you all for your love. And I multiply the love back to you, each and every one, those who had the opportunity to respond already, and even to those that haven't yet. God loves each one of us so much, and we're a family. And I was born an only child, so family's important. I didn't have sisters and brothers, but I do now. And it means a great deal to me. So thank you, each and every one. And I think now would be a very special time, actually, to go into communion. So let me get my elements, as you can get your elements. Let's just take a moment to confess sins and be in that holy place
of righteousness for our Jesus. On that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, your sacrifice was beyond anything we could comprehend or even imagine how much pain you suffered. And you knew that was coming. And you knew what to expect. And you did it anyway because of your great love for us, because you wanted us around forever with you. That was your desire, and you were willing to pay that price for us. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you created us to be the healed of the Lord, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are the healed of the Lord, and we boldly say so. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing. From the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, you paid for it all. You took care of every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. You took them from us and gave us health and healing and wellness, restoration and rejuvenation. That is what belongs to us. And we take it now as we partake of your broken body and receive the full manifestation of healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving up your life. Thank you for dying so we could live, so we don't have to die, because you already did that, and you took death from us. And you took sickness and disease and infirmity and pain. You took all the negatives. You took all the bad things. And you gave us all the good. This is covenant. This is a covenant partnership. This is us sharing the way covenant was intended to be done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being so willing and available to take all the negatives. Thank you for your love and your blessing us with all the positives. We thank you, Lord, as we look forward to living and not dying and being alive and remaining when you return so we can meet you in the clouds face to face at last. Thank you, Jesus. We so look forward to that day. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. We honor you as we now partake together of this cup of blessing and this cup of life. In Jesus' name.